This is Cultural Passions. I'm Dermot McIntyre, and today we're outside St. Michael's Church at the corner of Perry Square and Barrington Street in Limerick City. And we're here today to talk to three Limerick people who've got a passion for literature and the written word. Helena Close is a novelist from Limerick City who's published three novels under her own name and co-authored another four books. She's been a writer in residence with Limerick County Council and is also a programmer with Aoife Michael Hartnett.
Dermot, how are you? Delighted to be here.
Kevin Barry is a writer originally from Limerick City who's the author of the novel City of Bahan and the story collections Dark Lies the Island and There Are Little Kingdoms. He's won the Impact Dublin Literary Award, the Sunday Times Short Story Prize and the European Union Prize for Literature.
Hello, how's it going? How are you?
Mary Call is a Limerick poet and playwright. She's been writing and publishing poetry for many years, including her collection All Things Considered for Salmon Poetry. She has a special interest in the writings of Kate O'Brien and is currently completing her next poetry collection and writing an opera.
That sounds great. Yeah, I'd love to meet her.
So we're standing on the corner of Perry Square and Barrington Street, and just up the road from us is the former Carnegie Library, now the Limerick City Gallery of Art. And it's something which all three of you would have a shared history.
I would have been going to the library in Perry Square, I suppose, from, God, I don't know, really small, as a small child. And I remember the layout, the kids' books were downstairs and adults was upstairs. So I'd have a children's ticket, but I'd, of course, be sneaking up looking for the dirty bits, looking for Lolita and things like this, and sort of hiding in down in the dark corners with dirty books. The great thing about libraries is odd children find that they're immediately at home in them. You know, if you're a kind of slightly odd child, not the most sociable, not, you know, the star of the football team or anything else, you know, you can walk in with sort of no social graces or social skills into the library, and it doesn't matter, you know, because it's all open to you and all these worlds are there for you and you can just fall into them.
I used to go on the go there all the time. It was brilliant. You would never get caught up there. But I used to read as well, you know. It's a lovely, quiet place to read, but seriously, good place to go on the go.
On the go, meaning?
Meaning, Mitching from school. Brilliant place to be.
Every place has got its own language. And all of your works are very much bringing in that sense of language, that sense of place.
Yeah, I was just thinking in terms of all the words that are completely exclusive to Limerick, like tackies. Every kid going to school in Limerick talks about, I forgot my tackies, or I didn't bring my tackies, which are runners. And that expression, everyone starts a conversation kind of, come here, I want you.
I live up in a very different part of the country now, in the northwest, in Sligo. And it's, you know, when the accent changes, I think everything else changes with people as well. Like, down here, I find the humour and everything, it's like very quick and it's 100 miles an hour and surreal and madcap. You know, something like say, the Unbelievables, that couldn't have come from anywhere else except around here. And when I went up to Sligo first, I thought, Jesus, they've no sense of humour here at all, you know? But it's just that it's so dry and deadpan, and it's all about kind of pregnant pauses and stuff. So everything changes when the accent changes, I think.
And when you're writing in that accent, do you hear the voices of different people using those accents?
I think it's something that happens naturally, particularly with dialogue. It's kind of, you know, you just pick it up and it's just in you, really, I think, you know?
It's really interesting, actually, because people ask about it as if it's an unusual thing when they see it on the page. Because that kind of language that we hear in Limerick and that we grow up speaking in Limerick has very kind of rarely appeared in our official literature, you know, because it comes from communities that weren't in the way of producing books and producing literature. So it's actually a really fresh and fantastic thing to bring onto the page.
And I think that's very true, that the language of Limerick hasn't had expression before. Do you know, the work that I'd be familiar with about writers like Kate O'Brien and that, but that was a very mannered, middle class, that was a language almost at a formal level. It wasn't the spoken language of people, and it wasn't about people that were in the majority in the city.
And when you would have been children heading into the Carnegie Library and taking the books down from the shelves and exploring those books, were you conscious of that gap between sort of the words on the page written in places in New York and London and the language you're hearing around you?
At that stage, all you wanted were stories, loads and loads and loads of stories. You've no concept of the world of literature, I think, until you're much older. For me as a child, it was a hunger for stories.
Definitely. I think for me as a writer, I think the story is really important, and I think a lot of the time it can be overlooked. We can have all the beautiful descriptions and lovely, mystical, gorgeous writings, and you're kind of going, you know, where's the story? What's this actually about?
And what's your first memory of reading?
My mother loved reading, And we would have been kind of working class family. And she gave me, when I was 5 years old, she gave me a book called Pollyanna. And that's a huge, very important now to me, that book. And I loved it. And I just got addicted to reading. If I hadn't stuff to read, I'd read the newspaper. I would have been 7 or 8. I'd read cereal boxes, anything at all I could get my hands on.
Was there one book for you, Kevin, that really sticks out in your childhood?
I always remember reading Wuthering Heights when I was about 10 and just being thrown up against the wall by it, you know, just completely lifted out of your place and been transported to another place. And you discover that a book is a mode of transport above all else. You know, it shifts you from where you are in the world and brings you someplace else, which is really, really magical.
Helena, for you, that act of transforming yourself from the reader to the writer, when did that start to come about?
I wrote, I suppose, more journalism, really, in my 20s and 30s. But I always had it in the back of my mind that it's something I'd love to do. And my sister died when she was 36. Sometimes you need a kind of a kick in the gut like that to actually say, right, you're going to talk about this, or are you actually going to do it, you know? And I've kind of felt at that stage, what have I to lose? I've nothing to lose, you know? If people don't like what I write, that's grand. There's lots of books out there that people hate, and that's fine. I have no problem with that. I think that definitely was the kind of kickstart for me, if you like, you know?
When I was young and when I was starting off really on a reading journey, I had no idea you could have a writer from Limerick. It just seemed like something terribly exotic. I mean, I didn't at that stage in my life know anything about Kate O'Brien or Edna O'Brien. The Irish writers all seemed to be men that were dead or from Dublin, you know.
I wanted to be the next great American Jewish writer when I was in my 20s. I was convinced I was the next Saul Bellow, you know, there's nothing else would do. Of course, for writers in, what they have to do is they have to write out all their influences. And for years, you're trying to be Saul Bellow or you're trying to be someone else, and you have to write your way through all of that. And if you're lucky, eventually, you'll have enough different influences all getting mangled up enough in your brain that you might start to sound a little bit like yourself.
And they say about first novels that they're semi-autobiographical, and I think my first novel, Pinhead Duffy, is very much that. Get all of that stuff out of my system, really, you know. I don't know how Kevin is going to manage now with a semi-autobiographical first novel. He must have had one weird childhood.
Well, you know, I had tried novels in my 20s, and it was like the movie biopic version of the writer's life, where you're pacing up and down and bawling up the pages and throwing them at the bin. And you know, you always think watching that, you think, geez, I don't want to read that stuff, you know? With that book, I wanted to have fun. I wanted to have a good time myself in the writing room. Having made the belated discovery that if the writer isn't having a good time, the misfortunate reader probably isn't having a good time.
I started off on what was a much easier route. I started writing poetry. It's really short and they only take a page. At least that's the way I do it. Gradually you realise that it's a lot more hard work than you thought. You have to be so careful and concise. It's like you just kind of, you're walking and you start to run.
And this might be a good time for us to step off the streets of Limerick, which have inspired all of your writing, and head across the road to number 2 Perry Square, now Culture House.
So I had my flat in the basement here for 4 years.
Hi, guys.
So it's down to my flat down here, down the stairs to your left.
And flashbacks.
Jesus. It's cleaner than when I had it.
So we've come through Culture House, straight through, over Kevin's old flat and into sort of the back garden. And right in front of us, it's a lovely old Georgian building, and the garden itself has been recreated as a Georgian garden. I'm guessing, Kevin, when you had your parties...
I wasn't looking as pristine as this, no.
Bodies everywhere, you know.
I suppose you could say an arty crowd would tended to be in the building, so there was never much money around, but there was always kind of parties going on, so it was great crack, yeah.
Early 90s, I'd say.
I presume there were many words written at about 3 a.m. where you said, "This is it."
And then at the age where I was kind of talking about it more than doing it, you know, that kind of way. I was doing bits of journalism, but no, I had a poetry phase, I suppose. All right, as a teenager, I used to lie in the graveyard of St Mary's Cathedral, listening on my Walkman to Joy Division and the Smiths, and writing poems about the certain imminence of death and all this kind of stuff. And even as I was writing it, I knew it was cat altogether, really, you know?
I do think you have to start. I do think you have to make a mess of things for a while. You have to be your own hardest critic.
You have to put in the hours. Yeah. It's like any other craft, really. You have to put in the hours and you have to make loads of mistakes and you have to write loads of rubbish. I'm sorry, you know. There's no easy way, for most people. There are exceptions, of course, you know.
As well as that, you have to tell people you're doing it. You have to kind of declare yourself, you know.
That you're kind of declaring it to yourself, really, aren't you? You're saying, right, I'm going to do this. I'm actually going to do it. I'm not going to talk about it anymore or think about it anymore.
It's very interesting though what Mary was saying a while ago about when you grow up in a city where there isn't a tradition of having professional writers around the place. Like, I remember, Jesus, who was here? Michael Curtin was writing and publishing very good novels, you know? Like the Cove Swimming Club, that great one about Kilkee, which is fantastic.
Very underrated writer, one of my favourite writers. Absolutely loved The League Against Christmas. And I remember after reading that and going into the White House and seeing him sitting at the bar and being completely in awe of him, you know? Like, he was a superstar, absolutely. Somebody that I wanted to be, and you know, and I absolutely just loved him, and I was so in awe of him that I actually never spoke to him. And I would have been in there every weekend, you know, and I'm raging now that I actually never did, kind of, you know.
In terms of novels and book publishing, there was very little outside of Michael, you know.
And Michael Collins, the novelist who's in America, but he's in America all the time, you know, so you never thought about him as Limerick.
Or Limerick writers in other areas like Jerry Stimbridge and stuff would have been doing the radio and telly stuff at that stage. And Island Theatre Company would have got going, so there would have been good theatrical stuff. When I come back to Limerick now, and I'm back a few times a year, there's much more going on now than there was in the 80s and 90s. I'm talking to people here who are in their 20s and in the art colleges or actors or anything, and it doesn't seem to them like a huge thing to get a play put on or to write a book or to put on an art project, whereas it seemed like a real leap to be taken to try to do something like that in the 80s here, which was a very bleak time, really, when you think about it, you know?
So, Kevin, you were just saying how tough it was to have things put on and to get things on and to get published in those days. And here, in the back of Culture House, there's a coach house. And for you, Helena, it's actually one of your more proud moments. We might actually take a look in and
talk. It's a beautiful space and a lovely space to work in. Even though it's only been 2 weeks ago. Fabulous.
I've boarded up now in my day. I never saw this before.
It's fabulous. Fabulous space to work in.
You get a few bodies in here as well.
You would, as part of Pulse, which is the theatre legacy project for City of Culture, I was invited to adapt my first novel as for the stage. I had Gavin Costick from Fish Amble as my mentor, if you like, and Pat Kiernan from Corcadorca Theatre in Cork. Amazing guy as well. I was just honoured, absolutely, to be asked to do this.
It must have been an incredibly different experience doing something in collaboration with people, as opposed to maybe the isolation that's normally associated with writing.
Very, very different discipline than writing a novel. So I had to literally beat the novel out of myself. And the first draft, I think, had a narrator. We killed him very quickly. When we actually moved in for the week-long workshops in here, into this space, I think that's when the real hard work started. I never realised how hard-working actors are. And they were brilliant towards me and really made me feel comfortable and really supported me. The experience of it was fantastic. I'd love to do it all over again.
I've done a little in theatre as well, in Cork with Meridian and in Galway with the Town Hall up there. And I just loved that the practical thing of it, the fact that it gets you out of the house, you know, and you have colleagues for a while. Because when you're writing stories or novels, it's yourself in the four walls and you're going slowly nuts, drooling, looking out at the rain.
And I'm getting that sense with all three of you from the early days in the Carnegie Library as readers and then putting words on the page to becoming writers, to becoming published writers, that you had to do it. Do you feel that you have to do it?
No, I can't imagine not writing. I can accept not being, you know, published or stuff, but I'll always be writing something or thinking about a character or listening. And it's a communication thing. I have to be communicating, I think.
From my own experience, anytime you kind of find yourself in a hole in your life, my natural tendency is to try to write my way out of it.
It's the way I process everything around me now. Eventually it'll come out in writing form, if you like. At this stage, I have my 10,000 hours done, and it's absolutely part of my DNA, and I love it, and I cannot imagine not doing it.
I'm really happy when I feel I'm writing something that works. It might only be the clarification of a simple idea in your head. It might even just be a word that sets you off on another journey. But there's great, for me, it's the most satisfying thing. Nothing, you know, there's no point. There's nothing else would give me as much pleasure.
Yeah. Like you might get a good writing week in 20 minutes. What you're writing out of is your nerves. That's what you're using as your primary material, you know? And as a writer, when you say, I'm going into work in the morning, what you mean is, I'm about to go and crawl into my nerves and see what I can take out of that, yeah. You know? Like Kalina says, it's something that becomes part of what you are in every kind of bit of you, really, and it becomes very necessary to keep going.
Well, there you are. Writers Kevin Barry, Helena Close and Mary Call speaking there to Diarmaid MacIntyre of Grey Heron Media, exploring their passion for the written word in the final episode, I'm sad to say, of our 12-part series marking Limerick City of Culture 2014. And Cultural Passions was specially commissioned in a unique joint initiative by RTE Lyric FM and Limerick's Live 95 FM to mark Limerick as Ireland's first national city of culture, and was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.